T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Things just went kaflooey. But 83, it started coming back. And we really felt like we could be, you know, we could be at the top and in this thing for a while. And when, as you know, went to Washington, D.C., NFC Championship game, and I hate using this line of commentary, but I really do believe the yellow flags denied us the opportunity to go to that Super Bowl. And I'll say it unjustifiably. Okay? But 1984, when we bounced back and we showed some real grit, and of course, you know, the whole Fred Dean thing, and maybe that night, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe in the locker room, right after Fred Dean's deal had been done and we had beat Cleveland and all of a sudden they announced that Fred's contract's signed, I think probably right then and there we said, okay, we're not saying we're totally unstoppable, but you better have something a lot better than us or get out of the way. And I that probably started then, right there in the locker room in Cleveland, Ohio. And 1984. And I think the rest is just, you know, history.
Former president and general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, one of our all-time favorites for a reason, Carmen Policy, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Mr. Policy, we could listen to you all day, but you got things to do. We got some less important things to do, but we always appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend.
Well, thanks for starting my day, and I always love talking to you, gentlemen, and you helped me revisit some very, very fond memories.
Outstanding. Thank you so much for sharing with us. We'll catch up soon. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning, happy Friday, and welcome to Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game, the 8 o'clock hour edition. It's great to have you with us today because it's a very big day for the show and the station. The greatest moments in Bay Area sports history. We're discussing them all day. Joe Lowe and Dibs, Bonte Steiny and Guru, Damon Ratto and Kolsky, Butcher Boy and Ryan Covey. Each show will be tasked with not only the discussion amongst themselves and with you, the callers, the listeners, the beautiful billions, but we're also going to then create the Mount Rushmore, the four greatest moments of all time as the four shows see it. You can hit us up at any point today. The Chilton Auto Body text line, 888-957-9570. The phone lines, 888-957-9570. We have merged them together. They are one and the same. As we remind you that today's show is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Still open to serve the community they love with full service banking and no compromises. Anything you heard from Mad Dog Russo or Carmen Policy that changes your opinion at all, Dibs? We got Larry Riley coming up to represent the Warriors in a bit. But anything changing your opinion? Because right now you're with the play. The play is your number one moment. You still sticking with that?
Still sticking with it, but Chris Russo made so many great points. He brought up so many great memories about, you know, some of the World Series runs and all the way he broke it down. And then just to hear Carmen Policy talk about the behind-the-scenes stuff, obviously we weren't there for the Fred Dean contract negotiation, but just to go back to that moment, to remember how important Fred Dean was and just all of the minutiae, the Jerry Rice story, it's just good to hear people like Carmen Policy and Larry Riley coming up tell these stories about the behind-the-scenes stuff. But, yeah, so far, I'm still sticking with the play, Joe.
Jerry Rice is at 8:45. I can't wait to ask him about his version of that story, where after the game he goes up to Eddie's suite and he talks to Eddie and Carmen about a new contract. Lo, you've heard from Mad Dog. You've heard from Carmen Policy. Your selection so far is the catch. You still sticking with that? You still confident?
Yeah, I am, and I think that it's going to be close. But I think that when it's all said and done, and the dust clears, I think the catch will still be right there because it just what it symbolizes, what era the Niners were in, and when that was that turning point for them, been the doormat for so long. That catch was more than just a catch; it was a turning point. I think just for the organization in general.
Jerry Rice at 8:45, Dave Stewart to represent the A's at 9:10, Brian Sabian to represent the Giants at 9:30. Right now we're going to the phones. Former general manager of the Golden State Warriors, Larry Riley, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Larry, thank you so much for your time. How's life been treating you?
Things are good, and I hope things are good out there in the Bay Area.
No doubt. We are hanging in, and we appreciate you coming on the show today. The topic is very simple, an entire day dedicated to discussing the greatest sports moments in Bay Area history. As general manager of the Golden State Warriors, you presided over some very big moments, directly responsible for the selections of Steph Curry, amongst many others. When we're talking about Warrior basketball and we're talking about great moments, what specifically stands out to you?
Really, the first championship that the current Warriors won is something that I would have to go to. But then there would be several steps that led to that championship that were huge. And as I talk about those, one of them was the night that Steph Curry went to the Madison Square Garden and threw 50 on the board. And at that moment, we already believed in Steph Curry, but that was when, okay, we have something special. And I just see that as one of the things that was at least a turning point toward that championship. And there's a second one in my mind is we're playing the Spurs one night, probably the same year, and both Steph and Clay were just shooting the lights out. And that, to me, in my thinking, that was the beginning of the Splash Brothers and where everybody else realized what was going on. And that led to that first championship. And, of course, to me, that's one of the moments that I would point to. Now, that doesn't diminish all the great moments in sports history around the Bay Area. But for me, that's it.
That's a great recall, and I'd want to go back a little bit earlier to 2009 and the moment where you're sitting there and you have your draft board and Minnesota's got a couple of picks ahead of you and you got your eyes on a possible point guard from Davidson, but you're not sure if he's going to make it. When Minnesota goes Flynn and Rubio back-to-back, take us through that moment where you realize you're going to be able to get Steph Curry in the 09 draft.
Well, you characterized it pretty well. We're in the situation where, you know, we really early on didn't believe there was any way Steph would be available at the time we were picking. And as the time unfolded, the day before the draft, we got word from what we considered a trusted source that they actually were going to take two point guards, none of them named Steph Curry. And I couldn't believe it. I thought, okay, it's possible. But you didn't know. So you sat there on pins and needles until the draft was, you know, in operation. And then they made their second pick. And there was, of course, a tremendous sigh of relief. And then it was easy from there to say, we're taking Steph Curry.
Wow. Wow. When you were looking at Steph during this process, what was some of the things that glared? What was some of the things that you saw that other teams that drafted before you didn't see? What was it about the organization that said, I want that man?
That was, well, first off, there were several teams that believed in Steph, and it's well documented. New York loved him and Phoenix loved him. And so there were some teams, but to be quite candid with you, there were three or four of us that were in the minority in regards to taking him that high. I think every team in the league probably would have taken him at some point, of course. But we were pretty high on him. So to get to your point, I've always stated on several occasions that the turning point for me in deciding I want Steph Curry was a game that was played in Indianapolis where they played Purdue. and Davidson had gone in there, and I wanted to see the game from the standpoint that Purdue was one of those teams that would beat you up. And one of the knocks on Steph by a lot of scouts was, well, he's not strong enough, he's not really a point guard, and we just don't know if he can get the job done. Well, Purdue would mug you. They it was almost like a football game as far as they were concerned. They would foul so much that the philosophy, I think, was that the referees can't call them all. And I wanted to see him stand up to that kind of thing. And Davidson lost the game. Purdue won the game. But Steph played some as a point guard in that game and some as a shooting guard in that game. His skills as a point guard stood out from the standpoint that he made the long pass, he made the short pass, his ball handling was intact. And I never questioned his shooting, although he didn't particularly shoot well that day. It wasn't a dud, wasn't a bad shooting performance, but he didn't shoot well that day. And I'll be quite candid with you, as I was walking out of that arena in downtown Indianapolis, I said, this is a player I'd like to get if there's any way possible. That was a turning point for me because he had been on national TV and he had gotten a good bit of recognition, but that pretty much sealed things for me. And then, of course, we followed him throughout the rest of the season. That game, I think, was played in mid-December. Couldn't give you the exact date, but I know it was a December game.
Larry Riley, former Warriors general manager with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Take me through the story that's out there. There are a lot of different sides. I'd love to hear your side of the story regarding that Steph Curry pick at 7, the talks with the Phoenix Suns, and a possible trade for Amari Stoudemire that could have ended up sending Steph back to the Phoenix Suns. I know there are a variety of viewpoints on this one. What is your side to that famous story?
Well, I think Amari Cooper would have certainly helped our team. We were so bad at that time, it wouldn't have mattered. But Amari Stoudemire was the player in question, and we had numbers of conversations with the Phoenix Suns. Steve Kerr was the GM at that time, but I was talking with Griff a great deal, and Griff was the number two guy there, and he worked quite closely with Steve. So anyway, our philosophy at that time was we didn't think Steph would be there, and we didn't like who was going to be there if Steph was already gone. So therefore, we were willing to trade the pick if we could. And as time went on, it became obvious there were a couple of things to deal with. One was Stoudemire's knee situation was not good. And we might have still made the trade in spite of that if Curry had been gone. We were never in a position where we would have traded the pick if Curry was available to us. There are a lot of stories about it. I never said to Phoenix that we have a deal. That was never done. I've clarified that with Griff over the years. He agrees. I did get word after the fact, and I'm talking 3 or 4 years after the fact, that somebody in our organization, and I've never cared who, might have had a conversation with Robert Sarver, the owner, saying, okay, well, if that's what they want to do, that's what we'll do. And it's my opinion, Phoenix took it as though, okay, we have a deal. I never said we had a deal. Never would have done the deal if Steph Curry was, you know, available. And so the rest is history. That's the way it went down. Griff and I are still friends. And the thing you can't do as a general manager, you can't back out on a trade. And there were a lot of stories that we actually backed out on a trade. That part of it is not true at all. And that kind of thing was, you know, it was out there from time to time. People would allude to it. I'm probably not very popular in the Phoenix area because a lot of people heard that story. And it's one of those things where, I don't know, I'm satisfied with it because I know what happened on my end.
Yeah, and we appreciate you not trading Steph Curry on behalf of all Warrior fans everywhere, Larry. So good looking out, and thanks for that. I want to go back a little further to when you were an assistant coach during the We Believe time, and the Warriors are playing Utah in that second round series, and the game is getting away from Utah. It looks to be over, and then Baron Davis goes down the left side and absolutely hammer dunks on Andre Kirilenko. What are your memories of that dunk and just that team in the We Believe era?
That's one of the most vivid memories that I've got in all of the years of NBA basketball. And, I mean, I started in Milwaukee when Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and all those guys were doing phenomenal things. There were great plays that happened. But if you ask me for one moment on one great play, that doggone thing just, for some reason, sticks in my mind. I'm not saying that's the greatest play ever. I'm simply saying that that play sticks in my mind like none other. It was absolutely, and it was, you said it, it was Andre Kirilenko. Now, Kirilenko is a long, long player and had to be in the vicinity of 6'9", and Baron Davis went right up over him. And I'm sure that's on a highlight reel everywhere when you start talking about individual plays.
He's the former general manager of the Golden State Warriors, Larry Riley, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Larry, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate the trip down memory lane. Have a wonderful weekend.
I enjoyed talking to you. I wish you guys the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Larry Riley with us here on 95.7 The Game. So, for those of you who may just be joining us, here's how it's playing out today, all day on the station. Greatest sports moments in Bay Area history. Each show is going to be talking about them all day. Each show is tasked with coming up with their one selection. Us, Bonte Steiny and Guru, Damon Ratto and Kolsky, Butcher Boy and Ryan Covey. Four moments by the end of the day that will comprise the Bay Area Mount Rushmore of greatest sports moments. Jerry Rice is going to join us at 8:45. He was a part of a couple important plays in Bay Area sports history. Dave Stewart at 9:10. The only thing he did was win three World Series. And Brian Sabian, not to be outdone, winning his own three World Series, will join us at 9:30. As we talk about the Warriors coming off Larry Riley, there are a lot of moments. A lot of moments, especially in recent memory. What do you rank? And it doesn't have to be your favorite of all time. It doesn't have to be your official selection. Dibs, you're on the play as of right now. Lowe's on the catch. But when you talk Warriors, what stands out? I know there's going to be a case made for what I'm about to drop. I don't know if we're going to go with it. I don't know if any show is going to go with it. But July 4th, 2017, the acquisition of one Kevin Durant to the Golden State Warriors. Some say no titles happen after that first one without Durant's arrival. It's tough to say that they'd be as good, if not better. So, Lowe, I'll come to you first on this. The signing of Durant, July 4th, 2017. Where does that rank, maybe just over the last 10 years or so for you, in terms of greatest sports moments, Warriors edition?
I think that if you could sign Kevin Durant, you could sign Kawhi, Giannis, and, of course, the cherry would be LeBron. If you looked at that, and you said, if I named those three guys, you would sign them. I think there's only one guy that probably would gave you more thrill than Kevin Durant. And that probably would have been LeBron James. So when you're asking me that, Joe, that moment was huge. That moment in time to sign Kevin Durant, it ensured you more championships. It guaranteed you that. And so when you're talking about that particular moment, I think there's probably only one player that you could have signed that would have been bigger and make a bigger moment. And that's, you know who that is, Dibs, LeBron James. Huge moment.
Yeah, it's Dibs? Just an off-court moment, so it's a little bit weird for me to... But no? Well, am I wrong, Lo?
Is going to be an interesting point for today, though. Some of the decisions that are made off-court, off-diamond, off-field,
right.
They're still sports moments, but do you give them less weight than you do for what happens on the gridiron?
Yes, I do, and I think it's hard, especially for me as a fan, because viscerally, tangibly, you weren't at that meeting, you weren't really at that moment. It's obviously a huge moment for the franchise because July 4th, the Hamptons, everything that went around it, the hype of his free agency, the fact that he was taking just select meetings, and outside of Lowe, not a lot of people thought that this would actually happen. So for me, it was stunning, but it's hard for me to compare a moment off the field to a moment that happens on the field, especially when there's so many other great on-court moments. Like for me, for example, when you were talking about great Warrior moments, I was thinking about the Steph Curry 3 against the New Orleans Pelicans where Anthony Davis goes up to block it. Davis crashes into Curry, who flies into the third row. Curry hits the game winner. in that playoff series. That moment to me has more weight for me than what happened on July 4th. Even though that changed the course of the franchise, that's not really a moment that I think about when I'm thinking about the greatest moments in sports history.
See, I'm in a completely different camp.
Me too.
Completely different camp. That moment is huge. Just because I can't see it doesn't mean it's not a monumental moment. The ability to sign Kevin Durant. I'm not saying it has to be the greatest, but I will definitely take that into account when I'm trying to suss through all of this. And I don't know why I'm using the word suss so often today. I have not used it in years, if ever, and yet that's the fourth or fifth time I've used it on today's show. Quite odd. On behalf of myself today, but we'll get to that 10:05. I'll deal with that in the postmortem when I'm reflecting upon what we talked about today. You don't sign him, it's possible you don't go on to even appear in another finals. I'm not going to play the game of how good they would have been or what would have happened without Durant. The fact is, with them, you went to three consecutive finals in a row. He won two finals MVPs. You won two championships. And there were a lot of injuries that took place that final season against Toronto, but Toronto deserved the title. That's how it plays out. No sour grapes. A very worthy and tremendous champion. But that moment has got to be up there. That changed the... That may have been the moment that created a dynasty. Because without the other championships, they're not a dynasty. This may have been the moment. Without him, if you don't win, you're not a dynasty. So the Durant signing, whether or not I could see it, that's still got to go down for me as a great moment in Bay Area sports history. Lo, where are you at? Just because you couldn't see it, does it matter?
Joe, same church, same pew, same drawers. You're sitting on my lap. I mean, think about this. It changed LeBron James' course in life.
Another reference.
Let's be real here.
If the Warriors don't go out and get him, LeBron James wins other championships. Think about what we're here talking about. Will LeBron win another championship? We don't know. The Warriors were the biggest thing. This guy's been a 9 NBA final. The Warriors said, we have to get ready for that guy over there. The Warriors' only reason KD came is because the Warriors lost to LeBron. Man, you can put your hand on your cheek, Dibs, and disrespect all you want, but it was a huge moment. It changed the course of the NBA. So I think that moment was absolutely huge. That moment made this team a dynasty. Credit the organization, the front office, for drafting right, but bringing in KD, my goodness, that's a huge moment. And yes, it merited championships, and it changed the NBA, Dibs.
In my 5.5 years working here, there are 2 days where I'm still absolutely sick to my stomach that I wasn't on the air for them. One was a Saturday when Khalil Mack was traded to the Chicago Bears. I was so furious that happened on a Saturday. And then I spent 2 days, just 2 days, pouring through notes. I have never created more notes for one subject in my entire life. I literally, this is no lie, and I've saved it. I'll show it to you one day if you're interested. You're probably not. I don't blame you. An entire legal notepad. I filled an entire legal notepad with notes, topics, and questions that weekend based on that trade. I was so sick that we were not on the air for that. I couldn't believe it. But I poured everything into this notepad. Such a nerd. Number two was the day Durant signed with the Warriors. I was so mad that happened on July 4th. It was a Tuesday. So we had a 4-day weekend, and I remember exactly what I was doing. I was out on the street walking the dog when the announcement came down, and Gus's is here in Mission Bay. It used to be Market Hall, and Market Hall had a little like bar/restaurant in there, and they had like 4 TVs in a row next to each other on the wall. As you walk by the glass, you can see the TVs, and I'm walking by, and my phone explodes, and the TVs are all on that Kevin Durant had just signed with the Warriors. He had made the announcement, and I'm looking up on the TV, and as I came back and circled through later, Colin Cowherd was off that day. Nick Wright was filling in. Colin literally got in his car and drove to the studio and appeared as a guest on his own show. He wanted to talk about this so bad. And I remember just being sick to my stomach that we were not on the air that day. Now, the next day we came in, we went nuts. But the Khalil Mack trade and the Durant signing, I was just sick that we couldn't be on the air talking about that. Right? It was that huge. Now, I'm not going to say it's the greatest Warrior moment of all time, but it's right up there. There's a great case to be made that without that move, who knows? Like, that is a great sports moment in history. Got to give the front office and the players credit for going out to the Hamptons and pulling that off.
No doubt. And I'm not going to demean the moment and the impact and the import and what it led to, obviously, just for me. And this is how all of us interpret the topic in our own individual way. For me, when I think about sports moments, I don't necessarily think about off-field front office moves. This obviously was one of the biggest moves, front office moves in Bay Area sports history. You could talk about the Montana move, certainly the drafting of Jerry Rice. We already talked about Steph Curry and that draft pick. We could go through, you know, Alex Smith instead of Aaron Rodgers, round and round and round. But the Kevin Durant signing might be the single most important off-field sports moment in Bay Area history. I just don't perceive it in the same way when we're thinking about this topic.
All right, Jerry Rice is at 8:45. Dave Stewart is at 9:10. Brian Sabian is at 9:30. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by DuckDuckGo Privacy. Durant's off-court signing, right? It's an off-court moment. You think it goes down maybe as perhaps the biggest off-field moment in history. I've got one that's bigger. It's actually my moment. The moment I'm voting for is the greatest sports moment in Bay Area history. That's going to be next. Fed up with companies selling your data? DuckDuckGo is on it. They help millions of people like you take back their privacy online. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers, all for free. DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified.
Now, back to Joe Lowe and Dibs, naming the greatest moments in Bay Area sports history on 95.7 The Game.
It was organic. It was authentic. It was real. There's feelings I couldn't ignore. So, you know, I made a decision to come in and play for these guys, and I feel great, and I feel excited about this opportunity.
Audio courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area. That's Kevin Durant at his introductory press conference talking about why he joined the Golden State Warriors. Is it the greatest Bay Area sports moment of all time? Is it up there? Is it on the mount? That's what we're doing today. All four shows. Joe Lowe and Dibs, Bonte, Steiny and Guru, Damon Ratto and Kolsky, Butcher Boy and Ryan Covey, talking about the greatest moments, discussing them with you, the people. 888-957-9570. That's the number for the phones. It's the number for the Chilton Auto Body text line. And then at the conclusion of each show, declaring the pick. And at the end of the day, we'll have four to complete the Mount Rushmore of greatest Bay Area sports moments of all time. Jerry Rice is coming up at 8:45. Dave Stewart at 9:10, Brian Sabian at 9:30. Let's recap for the people. Lowe, I start with you. All of us came into this with an idea. We're going to discuss it all day. Maybe we change our opinions. Maybe we don't. For the people just joining us, what is your selection for the greatest Bay Area sports moment of all time?
Yeah, this is a tough because, you know, after everyone's laying out some, you know, pretty good arguments for the reason why they believe that their special moment is so special. Mine is just, it keeps going back. I don't know if it's because the age that I was at. I don't know if it's because where the Niners were and where Dallas Cowboys, how they were looked at upon. That transition, that changing of the guard, the catch with Clark, Montana, rolls right. He backs up. He's backpedaling. He's scrambling. He's moving to the right, rolling to his right. It looks like you don't know if he's going to take the sack or go out of bounds. And he throws this unbelievable pass. And Clark just comes out of nowhere and makes this unbelievable catch. I know it's third down, but when you get on the goal line, things start to, you know, it's harder to work with. The field shrinks a lot. Your offense, your plays shrink down a lot. That was a huge play in which it was just executed and ran was just unbelievable. So that catch, to me, is still the greatest play in Bay Area history.
Lowe's going with the catch. Dibs, where are you at for the people?
I'm going same year, different play, though. Different part of the Bay Area, and later that year, it was the play, 1982, which is coincidental that both of the two iconic plays happened in the same year, January of 82, November of 82. Cal, needing to make a big play, made a big play. Five laterals, a trombone player on the field, total chaos, a unique play, unlike any other we've ever seen, and nor will we ever see it again. By the way, Joe Starkey will join Bonte, Steiny, and Guru, and the trombone player who got run over, Gary Tyrell, will join Damon Ratto and Kolsky at 3:30. So we're going to give you full court coverage of the play. Logos with the catch. I'm still going with the play, Joe, but you teased it going into the break, how you were going to reveal yours, and I'm keeping an open mind not only for that, but also what the callers and texters might say to possibly sway me off the play.
I don't believe that my selection is going to be the show selection. I also don't believe it's going to be any show selection. I don't think it's going to end up on the mount, and that's fine. But I don't think anything in Bay Area sports history comes close in terms of greatness, in terms of magnitude, in terms of what it led to, than this particular pick. I think this is the most important. I think it's the greatest sports moment in Bay Area history. It's January 9th, 1979. January 9th, 1979. It's the hiring of William Ernest Walsh to coach the San Francisco 49ers. That is the single greatest sports moment in Bay Area history. In the seven seasons before Walsh's arrival, the Niners were a joke. They were 39-79. They won one-third of their games. They had one winning season, which was 1976. They had zero playoff appearances. This was a franchise. Might as well have been up there with the Jaguars, with the Texans, with the Dolphins. They meant nothing. Actually, scratch that. Take the Dolphins out. They had won titles in the 70s. This was a joke franchise. This was a bottom-of-the-barrel franchise. You meant nothing to the pantheon of sports. You meant nothing to the NFL. You were a joke, a bottom feeder. No one feared you. Walsh comes in and changes everything. Not just for the team, not just for the NFC, not just for the NFL. He changed the sports world forever. 10 seasons as the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. 92-59. They go from winning 33% of their games to 61%. They go to the playoffs 7 times in those 10 years, excuse me. They win 3 Super Bowls. He drafts Joe Montana. And remember, he wasn't just the head coach. He's the general manager as well. Joe Montana, Ronnie Lott, Jerry Rice, Charles Haley, 4 Hall of Famers. He drafts Dwight Clark, Roger Craig, Jesse Sapalu, Guy McIntyre, Michael Carter, John Taylor, Harris Barton. He creates the West Coast offense. He didn't just coach the team. He didn't just assemble the team. He didn't just build a winning culture. He didn't just take a dumpster fire and turn him into a top 3 franchise in his sport. He invented an offense that is still felt to this day. Oh, by the way, April 24th, 1987, he trades for Steve Young. He sends a 2nd and a 4th round pick to the Buccaneers in 1987. They take Vinny Testaverde, number 1 overall. Nobody thought Young was going to be a player except Bill Walsh. Nobody. He was going to wash out of the league. Walsh knew he was the successor. Walsh knew that this guy was legit. Steve Young is a Hall of Famer. He traded for him. You went from Joe Montana to Steve Young because Bill Walsh found Montana and drafted him and then found Young and traded for him. That is absolutely incredible. Walsh leaves and the Niners go on to win the Super Bowl in 89 and 94 with the players he drafted, with the system he established. He is directly responsible for 5 Super Bowl championships. The team went to the playoffs 9 times in 10 years after he left. They are one of the 3 most iconic franchises in NFL history. You can't say that about any other team. The Warriors, maybe, because they have 6 titles. But you can make the case it's the Lakers, the Celtics, and the Bulls. But if you want to make the case for the Warriors, fine. Fine. But you can't say it about the San Francisco Giants. They're not top 3 in Major League Baseball. You can't say it about the A's. You sure as hell can't say it about the Sharks. You can say it about the Niners. From dumpster fire to iconic. Iconic because of Bill Walsh. Everything he did, you talk about the catch being a great moment. It is. It's a great moment. It's because of Bill Walsh. It's because of his culture. He drafted Montana. He drafted Clark. He coached that team. He put it together. Everything that happened was because of Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh found Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice didn't play at Alabama. He didn't play at Clemson or Ohio State. Are you kidding me? I don't think it's even close. I think cases can be made for great plays and great moments. But when you are talking about the single greatest sports moment in Bay Area history, nothing comes close to January 9th, 1979 for me. The hiring of Bill Walsh changed everything. Absolutely everything. That's the moment for me. And you can't see it, but if you wanted a highlight from it, it's an entire 2 decades worth of highlights from that play, from that decision, from that choice by Eddie DeBartolo to go out there and get Bill Walsh. So I don't know if anyone's going to swing in my court. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795, which is not the number anymore. 888-957-9570 is the number. I don't know if any show's going with it. I don't know if it stacks up top 10, but for me, it's not even close. The hiring of Bill Walsh is the single greatest sports moment in Bay Area history, boys.
That's a great case, especially when you talk about innovation, West Coast offense, what it did not only for the 49ers, yes, but also for football in general, the fact that he became the guy who was at the forefront of this offensive change that, that really altered the way the game was played completely across the board. And it's hard to not look at that moment. And again, it's tough too, Joe, because 1979, it wasn't wall-to-wall coverage. There was no ESPN, so you probably had to read about it in the Chronicle or the Examiner. Shout out to San Francisco Examiner back when it was a two-newspaper town. But that's a good pull. And, you know, you talk about Kevin Durant as a huge signing and Steve Kerr becoming head coach of the Warriors. There have been a lot of titanic off-field moments. And the way you laid that out, it has me thinking about maybe getting off the play, because you mentioned it. It launched five Super Bowls. George Seifert was able to come in and obviously do well, but those were Bill Walsh's players.
The task of any person's life, leave a situation better than you find it. Leave a situation better than you find it. As a parent, as an employee, as a human being, we should be trying to leave the earth better than we find it. We should leave our families better than we find them. That's what we should do. Leave this radio show better than we find it when one day it's all said and done, right? Bill Walsh not only came in and turned this place from an absolute joke dumpster fire into one of the most iconic dynasties and franchises of all time, but when he left you with Steve Young. You went on to win two more Super Bowls. He traded for Steve Young. I that alone is a massive move. Who else was making that play? A second and a fourth for Young. Mike Lombardi, a good friend of this show, he writes in the book Gridiron Genius. He studied under Walsh. His first job was with the Niners. He had to drive Walsh's Porsche around. That was his job, to drive Walsh around. That's how he got in the NFL. He has told me, because I was fortunate enough to work with him, so many stories about Bill Walsh. But one of the things about Walsh, with Steve Young, they knew they needed him. They loved Steve Young. Nobody else was going to make that play. Nobody else was going to go out there and do that. Joe Montana to Steve Young is an incredible, incredible stroke of genius for any franchise at all, though.
Yeah, it's just, when you got me thinking now, I'm like, wow, this is a brilliant, the way you turn of events. But you look at it and you say, how much is that, do you say, with Eddie DeBarlo? If you say that, then how much do you look at it and say, man, for Eddie to say, okay, let's go get Steve Young. Let's go make this thing happen. How much, when you look at it like that, do you look at a guy, Al Davis, and how he changed, what moment did he have? Did he change the Super Bowls they won, you know, the Raiders? So I do see your point. But then how do you weigh those guys' decisions to put those people in position?
Well, the thing is, it's the hiring of Walsh is the moment. So Eddie DeBartolo gets all the credit in the world, too. It's not to say Walsh. DeBartolo had to hire Walsh. So my moment is January 9th, 1979. It's the hiring of Walsh.
I got you.
And then my case is basically laying out everything Walsh did. Now, I am open. I'm open to listening to some of the other things you said. Like, Al Davis was an absolute maverick. That is the one word I always heard used to describe him. And when you talk about what he did, going vertical as an offense and how he influenced the game, he directly influenced Bill Walsh. Walsh was trying to compete with him. Walsh was learning from him. So there's a great case to be made about, I don't know what the one moment would be. Maybe it's the day Al Davis bought the Raiders, right? It could be that. I think there's a case to be made there. I think that when we're talking about great sports moments, though, it's the moment that has the biggest impact. It doesn't have to be something I watched. It doesn't have to be a singular home run. There are so many great plays, so many great things that have happened here, but the hiring of Walsh led to so much. It took a dumpster fire and turned it into a dynasty. He left, and they went on to win another Super Bowl. In fact, the year he left, many would argue the 89 team was the greatest team of all time. That's his team. He built that team. He wasn't just a coach working with the general manager. He was the GM. He was scouting the guys, drafting the guys. He developed the West Coast offense. Everything Bill Walsh did, I think he's the greatest coach of all time. I think DeBartolo hiring him is the greatest hire of all time. I think that day, January 9th, 1979, becomes the greatest sports moment of all time in Bay Area history because of what you got out of it. Like, you don't draft Steph. You don't sign KD. Who knows what you get? You definitely don't get what you ended up getting, though. If you don't bring in Bruce Bochy, you don't get what you get. There are a lot of great moments to be said. But if you don't hire Bill Walsh, this team was an absolute joke. It's not as if it was a solid franchise like Tony Dungy in Tampa and then Gruden comes in and wins a Super Bowl, right? Everyone deserves credit for that. But that's not Gruden coming in, turning things upside down. He had a great team. Hall of Famers everywhere. He put them over the top. Walsh took over a joke, an absolute joke. I mean, this is a team that gave up all those picks for O.J. Simpson. Do you remember what he inherited? He inherited a mess. He inherited an absolute mess. It's not like Montana was a unanimous number one coming out, right? It's not like Jerry Rice was a unanimous number one. It's not like Ronnie Lott was a unanimous number one. Found these guys, developed them, put them together, built the system that got what you got. Five Super Bowls, trading for Steve Young. I mean, the list goes on and on. I honestly, when I was building this case, I started last week with it. I couldn't find anything that's even close. I can't even find a close second, boys.
It's funny you mention that, because that first Super Bowl run, if you look at the defense, they started three of the four guys in the secondary were rookies. We talk about this 49er team this year and how, you know, they had some troubles in the secondary and this and that. You had three guys who were all rookies starting in your secondary, yet you still won the Super Bowl. And I think that speaks to what you're talking about, Joe, is his ability as an architect to build the team. We always talk about Bill Walsh and the West Coast offense, but a lot of times we forget just what he did to the overall product, the overall team. And I lived through those 49er teams in the 70s, and they were an afterthought. They were an embarrassment. The Raiders at that time were rolling with John Madden and, you know, Al Davis and Kenny Stabler. The Raiders were
right,
the team
right
in the Bay Area. So for Bill Walsh to come in and turn the fortunes of the organization, of the entire Bay Area, around is significant.
Let's go to the phones. Let's bring one of those guys in. He's a Hall of Famer, a three-time Super Bowl champ, the legend, Jerry Rice, kind enough to join us on 95.7 The Game. Jerry, it's great to be talking with you again, man. How's life treating you?
Everything is going okay, guys. You know, I'm grinding every day and, you know, just trying to, I'm doing a lot of Zoom, you know, business-wise, but, you know, it's a new world now, and I think it's just something that we have to adjust to.
Well, we always appreciate the time. The first thing we want to hit you with was not part of the plan, but we had Carmen Policy on earlier, and he told us this wonderful story about he and Eddie D were up in the booth, up in the box, Eddie's box, after a game, a regular season game, and he says there's a knock on the door, and in comes Jerry Rice, and Jerry says that he wants to renegotiate his contract. He wants a contract extension. And we thought to ourselves, this is such a wonderful story. We can't wait till Jerry's on to tell us his side of it. Take us through that. You're walking up to Eddie D's box. Were you nervous getting ready to ask for that contract extension?
Hey, I'm always nervous. And, you know, I'm one of those guys. I like to earn my money. And I just felt like I was playing at a very high level. And it was about time. And, you know, but, you know, when you have to confront the owner and also the general manager and stuff like that, it's a little scary. But, you know, I was able to go up and persuade them, and they didn't say no. And you know, I know we're talking about the greatest moments and stuff like that. And Lo, you on the phone?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here, baby. I got you.
Hey, I got to tell you, hey, the greatest moment for the San Francisco 49ers
yeah
is when they traded with the New England Patriots to get down to that 16th spot, and they picked this guy out of Mississippi Valley State University. His name, I think his name, Jerry Rice. That was the greatest moment for the San Francisco 49ers.
Hey, listen at this guy. Hey, Joe, Dibs, when this guy gets drafted, he's about to be at the airport in like 2 hours. You know what he does? He goes and washes his car. I'm like, Jerry, were you going to drive your car from Mississippi all the way to San Francisco? He goes and washes the car.
You got to have a clean car, man. You know, presentation is everything. Yes, I had gotten drafted, but still, you know, it's like, you know, I wanted my car to be nice and clean. And people at the car wash, they just walked up to me and said, hey, congratulations. You just got drafted by the San Francisco 49ers. I said, thank you. I had never flown on an airplane, jumped on an airplane, and flew into Oakland. Then the next day, I was right at the 49ers facility for the press conference.
It's incredible. Jerry Rice here on 95.7 The Game. So you think about that moment, being drafted and obviously washing your car, as the story goes. But what about a couple on-field moments, things that maybe fans don't realize or wouldn't reflect on like you would, memories of your career, moments of your career, whether you were involved or not, that stand out?
Yeah, I think the thing is the catch, man. Everything goes back to the catch. And Joe and Dwight, they used to fight over this all the time, you know. Joe wanted it to be the throw. Dwight said it was the catch. So, you know, I was like, okay, man, you guys made a play. And Joe, to be, you know, to be honest with you, I know you were throwing that ball away. But Dwight just went up and he saved your butt and he made the catch. So that started the dynasty for the San Francisco 49ers. And I think when people reflect, when they think about the Niners, it was that catch against the Dallas Cowboys.
Hey, Jerry, when you're talking about that, the catch, Take us through that. What made that play so unique? I know it's third and three. You still got another play if it's fourth down. But what makes that play so unique? What makes it just stand out? What was the experience like that just gives it that much gravitas?
Yeah, I think with that sprint option, it's just like it gives you the ability just to be a little kid and just to be creative. And, you know, when Joe came out of that that huddle and he was running to the right side, his first option is the flanker. And the flanker, his job is to go straight to the flat. Now, Dwight is going to wrap around. Then once he wraps around, now he's going to come back and he's going to try to just, you know, that pile on in the back. He's going to try to huddle around that area. And, you know, Joe, he felt pressured. But the thing about Joe is that he's so composed. And at the last second, he made that throw. Because I think Too Tall Jones was, like, right in his face. And so yeah. Joe had to deliver that ball up high. Now, my theory is, you know, like, and I always, you know, joke around with Dwight about this. I said, hey, man, look, I always thought white guys couldn't jump. You know, that was one of the things that I would always say to him. And Dwight, man, for some reason, I don't know, he became like a Michael Jordan or, you know, guy. You know, he was able to elevate and make the catch over Emerson Walls. And after that, you know, everything else is history. But that play scored so many touchdowns, and I think it just gave Joe an option, and then it was up to him to make the right decision to deliver the football.
The great Jerry Rice, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Two of our three picks at the moment as we work through it involve the San Francisco 49ers. Lo has made the case for the catch. The one I was advocating for earlier was January 9th, 1979. It was the hiring of Bill Walsh to coach the team, to assemble the team. I never got a chance to meet Bill Walsh. I only know the stories, but playing for Bill Walsh, watching him design an offense, watching him call plays, and watching him lead a team and build a culture, what was that like? What was it? What was Bill Walsh like as a man, as a coach?
It's hard to really describe, and, you know, I think a lot of fans and a lot of media people really don't know, but Bill Walsh and Al Davis had a great relationship. And, you know, it's like Al Davis gave him the opportunity to really become a coach. And I think Bill, the West Coast offense, he was a genius on the field. He was one of those guys that would not let you really get complacent or anything like that. You know, I had a game, I think I always reference this. This was like my coming out game against the Rams. It was a Monday night game. I had over 10 receptions, 3 touchdowns, over 200-something yards. Bill wanted me to come up to his office the next day. So I'm walking up to his office, and I'm thinking Bill is going to pat me on my back. He's going to congratulate me and do all of that. So I walk up, man. I walk into the room. Bill looks at me with a straight face and says, I want more from you. Here I am. I'm walking back downstairs, and I notice Montana is going upstairs. I said, you're in trouble. You know, because he was just that type of coach, and you would want really run through a wall for this guy. You know, I'm going to give you guys one more. You know, this happened during Super Bowl. I think this was Super Bowl 23. Bill Walsh walked into the room, and Bill Walsh, what he did, he handed us, I think it was a tape from, the Gladiator. Russell Crowe, the Gladiator. And Russell Crowe said something about whatever comes through those walls, we have a better chance of winning if we stick together. He didn't say anything else. He didn't let the coaches say anything else, and the coaches just walked out of the room. The players looked at this clip, and we were ready to do battle. And, you know, we went out that next day when we won that Super Bowl. But, you know, he was a motivator. He was a great leader, and he was a genius.
In those moments after the Super Bowl, was he able to let his hair down, so to speak, and show you guys that he really could appreciate the moment, or did he keep his poker face on all the way through?
No, you know, and I think we had players the same way. I was the same way. After winning the Super Bowl, I was ready for the next one. So, you know, you just never let it just go to your head. You never get complacent. And it's all about, you know, just continuing to work hard and, you know, be appreciative of what you have accomplished. But, you know, it's all about the next battle. And, you know, if you lose a football game, it's about the next week, the next focus. So, you know, Bill was that type of coach, and I think he instilled in his players, you know, to take on that role of being a coach on the football field, you know, from Montana to Dwight Clark, Ronnie Lott, all the players. So, you know, everything feathered down through the locker room just a little bit from Eddie DeBarlow to the greatest coach ever. And Bill wanted the players to take over the team.
Hall of Famer and three-time Super Bowl champion, the iconic Jerry Rice, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Jerry, we always appreciate the time. We're glad to hear you're doing well. Hopefully we can catch up again soon. Have a great weekend.
And we will catch up soon, man. We're going to get through this, and you guys stay safe, okay?
We appreciate that, Jerry. You too. Thank you so much. I'll tell you what, Lo. Jerry may be regarded in the eyes of some as a more accomplished football player than you, but I'll take your "we will win" coronavirus speech over his "we'll get through this any day of the week." We'll get through this. Like, everyone's saying that, Jerry. I want to hear that "we will win," and I want to hear it dramatic three times in a row, right, so that's right. Convincing. We will get through this. My 3-year-old's telling me we'll get through this. I know. We're all going to get through it. It's going to be fine. All right. All right. Settle down. Everyone take a deep breath. The final hour's coming up. The championship rounds, and today, that means more than it normally does. The championship rounds are coming up. We've got Dave Stewart, 3-time World Series champ. He's going to make the case for the A's. Brian Sabian, 3-time World Series champ, to talk about the Giants. He's at 9:30, and then we will be tasked with making our final selection for the greatest moment in Bay Area sports history. Jolo and Dibs, back after this, here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.